Disappointment is inevitable, but discouragement is a choice. Hi, I'm Rob West. When things don't go your way, do you get discouraged or even angry? Today, we'll talk about a better way to handle financial disappointments. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance Live, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. People love to look into the future. We all have hopes and dreams and expectations about what we want our life to be, so we make plans. Plans to save, serve, build a family, work, travel, learn, grow, you name it. Planning is a part of what it takes to make our dreams come true, and there's nothing wrong with planning. We talk about it all the time here on Faith and Finance. Planning is an important part of being a good steward of whatever God has entrusted to you. But here's the problem. Our plans don't always succeed. Dreams fail. Expectations go unmet. And then disappointment happens, maybe more than we want to admit. Perhaps you invested your savings, but now inflation is killing your returns. Or you worked hard to start a business, but it still isn't making a profit. You planned for your marriage to last, only to experience an expensive divorce. Maybe you've been working towards that promotion, but someone else got the job. Or you plan to have a big nest egg when you retire, but health issues have reduced your savings. And then there's always the disappointment of finding your adult child living in your basement when you thought they were going to be financially independent. Maybe one of those situations sounds familiar. The question I have for you is, how do you handle the disappointments and unmet expectations you face? Financial disappointments can cause some people to shake their fist at God and lose faith. Others might become discouraged, depressed, or apathetic. Sometimes disappointment leads to broken relationships. Stress and anxiety are common responses when our plans fail. In fact, the more important we think something is, the more upset we are when our expectations aren't met. You know, it's not sinful to feel disappointed, but your reaction to disappointments can become sin if you're not careful. According to God's Word, discouragement, anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, and fear are all sinful attitudes. Ephesians 4:31 warns about them. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. So, you can respond to disappointment with discouragement, anger, fear, or apathy, or you can take a more positive approach, realizing that unmet expectations are often God's way of leading you in a new direction. Just look at how many disappointed people there are in the Bible, and you see how God worked in their lives, like Sarah and Hannah, who couldn't have children, or Joseph, whose brothers sold him into slavery. Or imagine how Jesus must have felt when Judas betrayed him. But the Lord had amazing plans for these unmet expectations. Sarah and Hannah ultimately had children who changed the world. Joseph saved his people. Jesus saved us all. Here's another thought. Your response to the disappointments in your own life can be a powerful witness to those around you. Maybe this isn't the way you thought your life would turn out, but God can use your unmet expectations for your good and His glory. Now, let's take a moment to consider a godly approach to financial disappointments. When life doesn't go your way, it's common to look for someone to blame. Instead, ask God to help you forgive the people who've hurt you. Begin to pray for the strength to live through your difficult circumstances. In addition, recognize that it may be time to let go of your expectations and ask God to show you His plans. People and circumstances are unreliable, but Hebrews 13:8 reminds us that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. The Lord is always loving, faithful, and just. The bottom line? God never fails. You can trust Him, even in the midst of your deepest disappointments, when big expectations come to nothing and people let you down. God will make a way for you every time. It might not be what you expect, but it will be good. Hold on to what's true from Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Let's close with a quote from the late Charles Stanley, a faithful preacher of God's truth for many years. He said this about disappointment. Disappointment is inevitable, but to become discouraged, that's a choice I make. God would never discourage me. He would always point me to Himself to trust Him. We're choosing encouragement today, which is why your calls are next at 800-525-7000. That number again, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stick around.
The opinions offered during this program represent the personal or professional opinions of the participants, given for informational purposes only. Any information provided is not intended to replace advice from a financial, medical, legal, or other professional who understands your specific situation.
I'm so grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance Live. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions now on anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's right. Lines are open, but the calls will come in quickly. So if you've got a question, go ahead and get in the queue. We'd love to talk to you today. 800-525-7000. Let's begin today in South Carolina. We'll talk to Cheryl first. Go right ahead.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question about my mortgage. I have a $225,000 mortgage left on my home.
Okay.
I'm 70 years old. I have like maybe $130,000 liquid assets in the bank. And I'm just wondering if I should pay a lump sum toward the principal, you know, just to help with the interest rate and the interest that's on the loan. I need some guidance with that.
Sure. Do you know what the interest rate is, Cheryl?
5.25, I believe it is.
Okay. Yeah. How long have you had this mortgage?
Since 2018.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a little surprised that it's that high. Did you have a credit score that was on the low end or a lack of income?
Originally, it was my husband passed away last year, and originally it was under his name, so he handled all of it.
Okay.
I'm just, inheriting the home.
Sure. Yes, ma'am. Well, you may want to check on that. You may find that it's actually a little bit lower than that. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case, but it also may be that 5.25, and I think that does factor in. You know, if it was 2.75 or 3.25. Obviously, that's a very low interest rate. This is a little higher, and that money in savings is certainly not earning after you pay taxes on the interest, going to earn for the foreseeable future, at least, enough to offset the cost of the insurance. So it does make sense for you to pay it off, both to get out of debt so you're free and clear, but also because you're going to spend more in interest than you're making with that sitting in savings or even a CD. Let me ask you, just in terms of the non-financial side of this, not the dollars and cents and the interest that you're going to pay, but just the peace of mind and even your own conviction from the Lord. Are you wanting this to get paid off just as soon as you can, or are you comfortable just paying on it over time if it makes sense financially?
As soon as I can.
Okay, sure. And I can understand that. I know that with owning your home comes a lot of peace of mind, of security in that. And so I can certainly appreciate that. Now, you mentioned you had $130,000 in savings. Is that the extent of your liquid savings, Cheryl?
Yes.
Okay. And so that would include what I call your emergency fund. That's all in one place.
Okay. The emergency fund is somewhere else.
Okay, and what do you have in your emergency fund?
Mm-hmm. I have about $20,000.
Okay, yeah, great. And what would you say on average you spend over a month's time?
Let's see, with the mortgage, two, four, maybe $2,500 up to, I'd say $2,500.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. And let's just round it up because maybe there's some things that come, a couple of times a year or, don't happen every month. So let's say it's on average $3,000 a month. So if you were to have 6 months expenses, that's $18,000. So you've got a little bit more than that. That's great. Now let's talk about your income. Are you living on Social Security? Do you also have a pension? What are your income sources?
Social Security, and I have a small pension, and I'm retired.
Sure. And are you taking a spousal benefit or a survivor's benefit or your own benefit?
spousal.
Okay, yeah. And so even, you know, your own benefit, the spousal benefit was higher, the survivor's benefit was higher than your own, obviously. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Very, very good. And the Social Security and pension, is that enough to cover all of your bills every month with a little bit left over?
No, it's not.
Okay, so how are you supplementing that shortfall?
I'm pinching every month
off
of my savings.
I see. Okay. Yeah, and what would you say in a typical month you're pulling from your savings to make your budget work?
I would say maybe close to maybe $800.
Okay. As much as $800 per month out of the $130,000, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And so that's a little bit higher than I would like. And, you know, the other challenge we've got is if you were to put a substantial amount of that $130,000 against the mortgage, it would be great if we got to the place where we could pay off the mortgage, because then you'd eliminate your largest expense every month, which is that mortgage payment. The problem is by you paying, let's say you put $100,000 against that $225,000 mortgage, that's not going to change your payment one bit, even though it drops it from $225 to $125. The payment stays level unless you refinance it or pay it off. So it's not going to help your budget, except now you've drained your cash way down and, you know, you're in a situation where, you know, you're pulling more than you should. And so you're going to deplete that over time. And then at that point, we've got nothing to fall back on and you still have the mortgage. And so you're not really cutting any expenses. So I think at this point, we've got a couple of options. I think number one is if you're comfortable taking a little bit of risk, and I say a little bit because we can manage that with the kind of portfolio that would be built. But, you know, one option is to hire an advisor who would build a portfolio where with that $130,000, he or she would buy a mix of maybe CDs and some high quality government and corporate bonds, and then maybe a small portion of stocks. The idea would be that, you know, you get that up to where you could take 5% a year and never deplete the principal. Now, 5% is lower than what you're pulling now. I mean, 5% on $130,000 is $6,500 a year, which is only $550 a month. You're pulling, you know, $250 more than that. So I'd want you to try to get that down a little bit if you can. The goal is for you never to deplete this money, and you'd, you know, still be able to, you know, maintain it so that you could tap into it if you needed to, but it's also there to cover your expenses. The other option is to replace your existing mortgage with what's called a reverse mortgage, where essentially you wouldn't necessarily take any extra money out of the home's value, but the reverse mortgage would pay off the current mortgage. So immediately you would get rid of that monthly payment. Now your income need is much less because your biggest expense is gone. And at that point, that balance that was paid off by the reverse mortgage, so in this case, $225,000, it would grow only by the interest that would be inside it and any fees, but not because you're continuing to draw the equity out. And then when you pass away or you sell the home, the mortgage, reverse mortgage, would be paid off out of the proceeds of the sale of the home. Is that a term you're familiar with, a reverse mortgage?
Yes, I am. Okay. Now, my question with that is, if I leave the home to a relative, how would that, you know, work with the reverse mortgage for that?
It's a great question. And the answer is, at the time of your death, the home would be sold. Whatever balance exists on the reverse mortgage would be paid out of the proceeds of the home sale. And then whatever's left would be passed to your heirs or go to charity based on your will. I've got to take a break, Cheryl, but I want to finish up with you on the other side of this break so we can just finish our conversation. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm so thankful you've joined us today for Faith and Finance Live here on Moody Radio. I'm Rob West. This is where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. We know you have money questions, and, well, God's Word has the answers. We'll help you process those principles in light of your specific questions. So what are you thinking about in your financial life today? Give us a call, 800-500-5500. 525-7000. Chris is standing by today to take your calls. At least he'll be the first one you'll talk to at 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Before the break, we were talking to Cheryl in South Carolina. She's got about $225,000 left on a mortgage. Her husband passed away a year or so ago, and she's looking at whether or not with $130,000 that she has liquid in savings at 70 years old, does it make sense to pay that toward the principal? The only challenge we were talking about before the break is that she's pulling about $800 a month from that $130,000 to supplement her pension and Social Security. And, you know, that's about, 8% a year, which is about double, Cheryl, what I would normally like to see you pull, and about 4% from an account like that, and where the account is invested, albeit very conservatively, but still invested. So it has the potential to grow and offset the amount that you're pulling out. We did talk briefly before the break as well about the possibility of a reverse mortgage, which would pay off the existing mortgage and at least eliminate that payment. The only problem is, upon further investigation, you're not quite at that 50% level of equity, and you would need 50% and at least 62 years old, which you are, but not at 50% equity. And so the reverse mortgage would not be an option. So I think at this point, again, I don't think it's going to solve anything for you to drop a big lump sum on the house. I think the key would be a couple of things. Number one is, can we reduce expenses? Is there any way to get the overall expenses down? And should we, given that you have an emergency fund separate from this, should you connect with an advisor and talk about investing this $130,000 such that you could begin to grow it at least modestly so that you could offset, if not all of what you're pulling out every month, a good bit of it over time, not in any 1 month or quarter or even a year, because it could be up or down with the market, but where you've got some growth in there to offset what you're pulling out. And the combination of you trying to get your expenses down, maybe even working part-time, but also getting this invested, you know, is going to slow the rate of withdrawal so that we're not, you know, seeing this balance come down. And then, unfortunately, we would just have to kind of get used to the fact that this mortgage is going to be with us for a while. And, you know, that is just the reality of it, because I think you depleting the money by putting it against the principal, although I love that, doesn't help you with the budget crunch, because you just don't, have enough there, and you're not going to get rid of the mortgage payment unless you pay it off in full. But give me your thoughts on all that.
It sounds really good. The advice, yes, I will use that. I may, like you say, hire an advisor to help me further with this.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good. Well, at least it gives you something to think and pray about, Cheryl. You can find a certified Kingdom advisor there in South Carolina on our website, faithfi.com, faithfi.com. Just click find a professional and you can find a list of CKs in your area. God bless you. Thank you for calling. Hey, stay on the line. I want to send you a book. It's called Wise Women Managing Money, and it was written by our good friend Valerie and Miriam Neff, mother and daughter. When Miriam's husband passed away, Bob Neff, she wrote this for women who were going through the similar thing where they are now kind of in this role of money manager, and just will offer some encouragement and some wise help with regard to money management. So stay on the line. We'll get that right out to you. Let's go to Illinois. Hi, Linda. Go right ahead.
Hi. My uncle passed away about 6 years ago, and my aunt just found out last week that he had funds in a checking account. We contacted the bank and were told that the funds were sent to the state. So my question is, how can I help my aunt claim the funds from the state?
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I know this happens more often than we might realize. Is your aunt in Illinois?
Yes.
Okay. So a couple of places you could go. One is specific to the state of Illinois, and it's the state treasurer. And according to my notes here, they're holding about $2.5 billion with a B in unclaimed funds for folks that live in the state of Illinois. And if you just do an internet search for unclaimed money, Illinois, you'll see that right there at the top of the page will be something called iCash. And you can click the link and initiate the process of getting this property returned as long as she can be properly ID'd and there won't be any cost. And that would be the place that I would start, because this is dealing directly with the state treasurer, the state of Illinois. Again, it's called iCash. And if you just Google search unclaimed money, Illinois, you'll find the link to it. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks for your call. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Winter Haven, Florida. Hi, Brianna. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. I was wondering if you could speak about health savings accounts and if that's something that's recommended for people to have and what age would be ideal to open one.
Yeah, I appreciate that question, Brianna. I like health savings accounts a lot. It's a great way to save money on your health costs and even to save for retirement, because if you're able, and not everybody is, but if you're able to kind of fully max it out during the year, you know, the contribution limit is $8,300 for a family this year in 2024, $4,150 for an individual. If you don't use it all, and by the way, that money goes in, you know, tax deferred, and it comes out tax free if it's used for qualified medical expenses. If you don't use it, you can build it up, you can even invest it, and then there's some benefits to having access to it in retirement. It does require that you have to have what's called an HDHP, a high deductible health plan, in order to qualify for that. So that means a deductible of at least $1,600 for self-only coverage, $3,200 minimum deductible for family. So if you've got a high deductible health plan, then you qualify for an HSA, and I like it. 100% tax-free for eligible medical expenses. And again, if you're healthy, you're not using it all up every month, and you can build it up over time and invest it, it could be a great additional retirement savings vehicle for you down the road. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance Live. Well, there's just a few days left in the month of March, and you know what that means. We're trying to close our gap here with our listener support at Faith and Finance Live. As a listener supported ministry, we rely on your financial support as a monthly partner or through your one-time gifts at faithfi.com. If you'd like to support the ministry, maybe you count on this, it's been an encouragement to you, maybe God's used some of the principles that you've heard shared in your own financial life and you'd like to support our work so we can share those with other stewards on the journey, it's quick and easy to give when you go to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com and just click give at the top of the page. And again, this week, any gift would go a long way to helping us reach our goal here in the next few days. So faithfi.com, just click give. All right, let's head back to the phones. By the way, we do have some lines open today. If you have a financial question, Laura standing by to take those calls. We'll get you on the air quickly. You can call 800-525-7000. Again, several lines open right now at 800-525-7000. Give us a call. All right, we're going to go to Rice, Washington. Hi, Elaine. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. So I have a question. My husband and I, we just sold our house. And we're close to retirement age. Actually, my husband would like to retire. He'll be 70 in July. Okay. I'm working part-time. And what we're wanting to know is what would be a prudent amount to reinvest in another home, either to build a home or to buy one. So I can just tell you really quickly what we currently have.
Sure.
In available cash. We have all about right. 1.2 million available cash. And right. In our IRAs, our TSPs, we have a $500,000.
Okay, so
our expenses. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
So our expenses. Well, in the past, our expenses have been about $6,000, but of course now we're actually house sitting for a friend of ours, so our expenses are much less. But we were calculating, you know, wherever it is that we buy or we build, that our expenses would probably be about $4,000. And right now our income is about $5,000.
Okay. But so that includes your part-time work?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it includes your Social Security.
Yeah, got it. And how much of that that you're bringing in every month, roughly $5,000, is your part-time income?
$3,800.
Okay. So a good bit of it. And then are you eligible for Social Security at this point?
I am.
But are you taking it?
No, I'm not.
Okay. And so how far is that just based on your current plans?
Okay. As far as when I'm going to take it, I actually tried to sign up for it and they've lost some of my paperwork or something and they're telling me to get a hold of them and I can get a hold of anybody. So it's sort of in limbo right now. Because my plan, I'm 67, I'll be 68 in August. And I believe my Social Security estimated income is 2,600.
Okay. But his is only about 2,200 currently?
No, his is 13.
Oh, 13.
His is really low.
Okay.
Right. He's a real estate agent, so.
Okay, yeah. So he didn't pay a lot in. So 1,300, you said yours, you're estimating is about 2,600. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that would give you
3,000 if I waited till I was 70.
Yeah. And are you planning to continue to work for the foreseeable future or would you like to stop?
My husband shakes his head. He doesn't want me to continue to work, but I think I'll probably work for at least another year.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right.
It depends on where we buy a house because it would maybe not be close to my work.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And so maybe this is a blessing in disguise because if you continue to work for another year and you delayed, you're taking your Social Security, I mean, that could get you up from 2,600, you know, maybe by another 8% or so before you started taking. And I think, you know, because you guys are right on the bubble there of having enough, assuming, you know, you'd buy this next house with cash, you're right there on the bubble of having enough to float your expenses just through Social Security alone. You know, every 8% matters in terms of you saying, okay, with cost of living adjustments, you know, at least the basic expenses are covered. And then obviously if we have to dip into our assets for long-term care, or something unexpected, we want to take a big trip, we can do that at that point. Now, in terms of, so the 1.2, is that the proceeds from your home sale?
Not all of it. We walked away with $803,000 for our home sale.
All right. But you've got a 1.2 in essentially cash, taxable accounts, and then the $500,000 is the total that's in retirement accounts?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, very good. And then, you know, as you're just kind of looking based on, I mean, you've got options here, obviously, because you've lived modestly, your expenses are basically going to be covered by Social Security, whether that happens in a month or, you know, 13 months from now, you know, you're going to be right there on the bubble. So you've got options in terms of how much house you would want to buy because you don't have to touch the, you know, the retirement plan. And then you'd have, you know, still quite a bit of money. I assume you're trying to downsize. You'd still have quite a bit of money in savings and all that's just going to be continuing to grow. So as you look around in terms of location, where you'd like to be, proximity to work and church and family and just the kind of lifestyle you want, what are you thinking you want to spend?
So right now we have a bid for a shell, you know, with a shop and a home, kind of a shom situation.
Okay.
And
sure.
That bid is $257,000. And so my husband thinks that probably in order for us to make it livable, we'd probably have to put in another $200,000 to $250,000.
Yeah.
So then we'd be up at $500,000. With, you know, so one of the things that we keep asking ourselves is, do we want to start all over? Because he's going to be 70 and I'm 67. And do we want to start all over? We have horses, so it means, you know, building some kind of a barn shelter situation for the horses. Or do we buy, or do we spend a little bit more money, well, maybe about $300,000 more money, and buy something that's already totally set up? So that's where our dilemma is.
Yeah, and I think you could go either way because, I mean, even if we go to that, let's call it an extreme. It's really not, but let's say that extreme, and you said, okay, we're going to put $800,000 toward the house. That's still going to leave you $900,000 between the cash you'd have available, and we'd want to earmark a certain amount of that for maybe 12 months worth of living expenses. But let's say, you know, we were to still keep, you know, $850,000 plus the $500,000 that you've got in retirement accounts. You know, if that's managed properly, meaning, you know, invested fairly conservatively, I mean, that could throw off another $36,000 a year, another $3,000 a month that you don't even really need, but you could begin to draw that. And I would be very comfortable with that at 4% a year. So I think even by going to that level, by saying this, you know, causes us to be set up, we're not having to do the renovation, it gives us the lifestyle we want. It's still an asset that could be sold down the road if we want to really downsize in real estate, although it's growing slower, it's not going down. We're not in a bubble situation here. So, I mean, I think you've got options again, because of the way you've accumulated assets, you're living modestly. And so even if you spend $800,000, I think with $900,000 still remaining or $850,000 plus an emergency fund, you're in good shape because that's just continuing to grow. And you could very easily add $1,000 a month to your living expenses and still be pulling way less than what I would say you could pull. Does that make sense?
Yes, that does. That does.
Okay.
And the other thing, too, is that you said conservative investment. Our investments right now are kind of on the more not conservative.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that's an opportunity for you because, you know, at age 70, we would probably say, you know, I mean, assuming, let's say, you know, that's both of your age. I realize you're a little younger. You probably want somewhere between 30 to 40% in stocks, you know, and then 50 to 60 or 60 to 70% in bonds, maybe with as much as 10% in precious metals. So maybe it's time to get more conservative. But I hope that helps. Thanks for your call, Lane. May the Lord bless you. We'll be right back. This is Faith and Finance Live, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. I've got some lines open, probably room for one, maybe two more questions here in this final segment, 800-525-7000. Hey, a quick note, things are looking up for folks wanting to buy a new or a used car. Now, this is relative, so just understand that, but Kelley Blue Book is reporting the average sale price for a new car in February was $47,244. Now, I realize that's a lot of money, but it's down 2.2% from a year ago, 5.4% lower than the market peak in December of 2022. Why is that good news? Well, the general direction is down, and we needed it to be. Cars were through the roof. Meanwhile, Edmunds is reporting the average used car price in the fourth quarter of 2023 fell to $28,371. That's 4.4% lower than a year ago. So it's unclear whether the downward trend in prices will continue, but they do indicate that inventories are improving as supply chain issues seen during the COVID pandemic are in the rearview mirror. If you're going to buy a car, start with the budget. That's one of the big three that can get our budget sideways. What are the big three? Housing, transportation, food. Food's a little easier to deal with. Cars and houses are harder to sell, so don't get stuck in a car payment you can't afford and wreck your budget. This is going to help if we see car prices continuing to fall. So some good news, I guess, again, relatively speaking. All right, let's head back to the phones to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Hi, Carol. Go right ahead.
I'm a widow of 82, and I live on a very low income. Just a little over $1,000 a month. I have a little in my savings in case of car problems.
Yeah.
But I feel really lost right now on the whole financial thing. The only thing I have is I own my home.
Okay.
And but I need to know how to make out a will and estate plan, and I can't afford an attorney or a lawyer.
Yeah.
I'm friends that, you know, want to do the estate thing and all with me, but they want a lawyer and attorney.
Yes. Yeah.
So is there someone out there that can help me with all this?
Yeah, there are free will services out there that you can take advantage of, and many of them are online. And I realize that may not be the most comfortable place for you. Are you are accustomed to being on the internet, or do you have a family member or friend that could help you navigate that?
I'm not on a computer. I barely can manage my phone. I've really gotten bad with this. I push the wrong buttons and and I get myself in trouble, you know, more than help. So
sure. Okay. Well, maybe somebody from church or a friend could help you. I mean, there is a services, including freewill.com, that allows you to make a last will and testament. Given the opportunity, if you have the money, I would encourage you to go to an attorney, but I understand you can't, and so that would be better than nothing. And, you know, they're legal in all 50 states and Washington, D.C., so you can absolutely use a free will service, because we do want to make sure that your wishes are able to be carried out by having a will that's valid and enforceable. And so I think perhaps asking somebody at church, a friend or a family member to help you explore the online tools like freewill.com and some of the others. American Red Cross has some solutions, something called LegalZoom, but I think Free Will is probably the biggest and most well-known, and I think that would be a great tool for you. I realize things are really tight, but are you able to keep your bills paid? Are you kind of going underwater every month?
No, I'm able to keep them paid. A cousin just recently has offered to help me. He gave me a card to help me get my groceries and my gas only.
Okay. That's very kind.
And I get help from the city. I fill out papers, and they help me with my EPB and my water. And then I do vouchers on my property. So I'm doing all that.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a great job, Carol. Fabulous. What is the value of your home? Do you know?
I think it's $200,000.
Okay. Because the only other option I would throw out, and I wouldn't be quick to do this because I would, you know, first tell you to pray about it, and you may say, no, that's just not for me. I mean, one option for folks in your situation where income is just very low, you know, they're barely making it, covering their expenses, and they're sitting on an asset that could be leveraged, is something called a reverse mortgage, where either by paying you an income stream every month for the rest of your life, or by just giving you a line of credit so you can tap into it if you need it. In either of those cases, it's what's called non-recourse debt, meaning you can never owe more on the reverse mortgage than your home will satisfy. And if you ever did owe more because you lived to 150 and they paid you every month till you're 150 and they paid you more than your house was worth, well, the government would cover the difference between what your home sells for and what you owed. But for folks in your situation, it can be a way to dramatically improve your quality of life, because you'd be able to systematically pull a modest, you know, amount out as an income stream from the house. As it's paid out to you, there would be an interest rate that it's attached to it and some fees, and that would grow over time. And then at your death, or if you moved out, the home would be sold, the reverse mortgage would be paid off, and whatever's left would go to your heirs or to charity, whatever you want. But that can be a game changer for somebody in your season of life. Is that something that's appealing to you, or would you rather just continue to own your home free and clear and kind of make it the way you have been? And again, you've been doing a great job.
Yeah, it sounds good, but because of my inability to and concept of money stuff, it all confuses me.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do this. I'm going to make a suggestion. I'm going to connect you at no cost with somebody that's a certified Christian financial counselor. They don't sell anything. They don't have any products. They're just people that love Jesus, and they've been trained to help people manage their finances, set up a budget, pay off debt, you know, think through just the basics of personal finance. They'll connect with you over the phone, and it won't cost you anything. We're going to pay for their time just as our gift to you. And they'll just be there to answer your questions, maybe help guide you through some things that are confusing to you. Would that be helpful?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'd be happy to do that. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have my team get your phone number, and we'll have that person give you a call will help you take care of that. And we'll pass along, we had a call from Carl after he heard your question, and he said they have lawyers in his church that would be happy to help you. And so we'll pass that information along to the certified Christian financial counselor, so that when he or she, whichever one it is, contacts you, they can make you aware of Carl's church, who called in to be a blessing to you, okay? He's also in Chattanooga, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, and he's in Chattanooga as well. So his church is there in your town, and it sounds like they may be able to help you with that will.
Okay, okay. I would like that. I feel better with someone from the church.
Great. Yes. So you stay on the line, Carol. We'll get your information, and we'll get somebody connected to you to help you, and there's not going to be a cost for any of this. And listen, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and we are so thankful to have you on the program today, and don't hesitate to call back in the future. Let's quickly go to Idaho, and we'll finish today with Clarence. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Clarence. How are you doing?
Doing great, thank you.
Hello?
Hi there. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got a question. When I was stationed down in Fort Polk and Fort Hood, and I bought houses, we had an insurance that covered if something would happen to me that the house would be paid for, and I can't find those insurances anymore.
Yes.
Anything about that?
Yeah, you know, if you can't find the paperwork for these policies, you can check out something called NAIC.org. That stands for National Association of Insurance Commissioners. And they have a policy search feature that could reveal who the insurers are for these policies so you could contact them directly. It's kind of a central repository or database. So again, you'd go to the internet, go to NAIC.org, the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, and use their policy search tool, okay?
Okay, appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, Clarence. Hey, God bless you, and thank you for your service to our country, sir. We appreciate it. Well, folks, we're about out of time today. Listen, such a joy to be invited into your stories. Such sweet callers today. I'm thinking particularly of our last caller, Carol, and so many others today that, you know, just trying to be found faithful in managing God's money, and it's such a privilege to be able to encourage those folks. Hey, before we go today, let me mention something here that's on my heart. You know, we hear from you from time to time saying, we love that you encourage us to be generous, and you know what? We want to be connected to those things that are on the heart of God that maybe are piquing our interest in terms of a giving opportunity. And so from time to time here in FaithFi, we want to put a spotlight on some ministries that God is using to make an eternal difference and give you the opportunity to connect to that work. And I know so many of you are burdened by what's happening in Gaza there between Israel and Hezbollah and how that's affecting others in that region, in particular Lebanon, you know, to the north of that area. And that's our spotlight ministry for the month. It's called Heart for Lebanon. They're an organization that's meeting the physical needs of the refugee and poverty-stricken people of Lebanon. But more importantly, they're sharing the gospel in the most democratic free society in the Middle East. I mean, it's absolutely legal to share the gospel with these people that are really hurting. And as they meet their physical needs, they're meeting their emotional needs, or excuse me, their spiritual needs as well, and emotional. So in the midst of this crisis in a very troubled place in the world right now, this is a practical way that you can be hopeful and help them to find Jesus by sharing with them. If you'd like to learn more or give to that great cause today, just go to faithfi.com/Lebanon. That's faithfi.com/Lebanon. That's our spotlight ministry this month. It's called Heart for Lebanon. We think you'll really like their work. Faith and Finance Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and FaithFi. Thank you to Chris, Laura, Amy, Jim, and Tahira. Big team today. Couldn't do it without them. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.